You're listening to Free Indeed Radio, the podcast from Free Indeed Ministries.
Today on Free Indeed Radio.
You know, too much over the years has the church taught that righteousness means right living, right doing, not right believing and right stance before the Father. And he sees us through Christ's eyes, so that's what makes us the righteousness of God in Christ. So therefore, how do you earn that? You can't.
And now, here are your hosts, Brandon and John.
Hello, welcome back to Free Indeed Radio. I'm Brandon.
And I'm John.
And today we're going to be talking about a very broad, very general, but very real topic, and we're going to try and make some sense of it, and that's our freedom in Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like? What are we free from ultimately? And what are you free from in your life?
And so, what are we free to do?
Right.
And how are we free to live?
So the only way that I was really able to connect and talk about this, just even with my own self, was to put it in perspective of the law. The Ten Commandments, the ritual law, the all that, and the scripture I have pulled up here is 2 Corinthians 3:7. Now, if the ministry of death or the law, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Just as the glory was ending in Moses' face, so was the law meant to bring all men to the end of himself. The glory of God did not reside in man at this time.
And yet, nowadays, with the contrast like you're talking about, we have grace. And grace does reside in us through Christ. And I think that's the big separation, the difference between the two.
Right, and well, like Paul says there to the Corinthians, the law was never intended to be a permanent thing. Like, it was just a babysitter, a pedagogue. It was meant to bring men to the end of themselves so that they would realize that they can't live by the letter. They can't live by words carved in stone. They can't live by rules that you have to obey in order to be closer to God. There had to be an end to it. You know, Paul just called it the ministry of death. And it's right. that's no small statement. The ministry of death. That's rough. I mean, and Paul even goes in Romans, it's like, well, you know, well, then is the law evil? Well, no, it's perfect and holy. It's unchanging. It's a standing golden pillar. But it's something that enslaves all men until they relinquish that slavery into the slavery of righteousness. And we'll talk more about that here. So, all men are slaves, right?
Right.
It's like all men are slaves, and it's we're slaves all to something, you know. And really, the question is, what are you a slave to? Realistically, we're all slaves to the flesh. We're all slaves to darkness. We're all slaves to unrighteousness from the moment we're born.
Right.
We are doomed to walk in darkness and to commit acts of darkness. You know, you don't have to teach a kid how to sin. You don't have to teach little Billy how to be selfish. He knows how to do it all on his own. Men are inherently evil. And so that is the law. The law is meant to keep that in check through all these, you know, rituals and special fancy outfits and layout of the camp and, you know, put your hand on the sheep and transfer your sin. You know, it was all symbolism of the thing to come. The law was a shade of the things to come. So the law, the Ten Commandments, all that was set up to be our master, to bring us to the end of walking in our self-righteousness, to hem us in and control us, so to speak, until grace came. So when that freedom, I don't know.
No, you're right. And because it was meant to bring us to a point where we had nothing left of ourselves, like you said, and we were absolutely dependent on God. That's what you're getting to. Mm-hmm. This law that we could never keep was meant to be where we could never keep it. And right. We challenged God, give us your laws and we'll show you what we can do. He said, I'll give you my laws, I'll show you what you can't do.
Right.
Right? And that's what it was meant to do. And yet they still didn't listen. In 1 Corinthians 7:21, it says, were you a bondservant, or in the Greek slave, when you were called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself to the opportunity. So right there, just exactly what you said. When we were born into this slavery or bondservanthood to sin. We were called by the Holy Spirit, right, to come to Christ. And so what Paul is saying is you didn't have to do anything to get free. You couldn't be free. You couldn't live in an open, righteous relationship with God because it wasn't possible. So he's reminding the Corinthians, hey, when God saved you, when he called you, you were in sin, you were slaves. But don't worry about that because now you're not. So stop going back to the way you were living before. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big deal as we teach so much and talk about a lot all the time is because we are in grace. And grace is something that carries us to this ability to be righteous. We don't have to do it. It is a free gift given to us that we simply live in. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand it. We need to understand grace and righteousness. And that leads to the freedom that Christ came for freedom Christ came. So when we have that understanding, when we are operating in that grace, then we're not operating as a slave to sin. You know, as Paul warns us, we still have our flesh. And sometimes I do that which I don't want to do, and he says in Romans. But we're not a slave to it anymore. And that's where this freedom that we're talking about, Brandon, today comes in. We just want to focus that really tight to what you were and what you can be and what you are.
Well, and I like that scripture. I think it's in Romans. We don't have it pulled up here. But it's talking about, for you once were slaves of... But I thought it was on our notes here. But for you once were slaves of unrighteousness.
Right.
But now you're a slave of righteousness.
Right.
And you're a slave to freedom. So it's an interesting shift in your position. Because freedom in Christ is first off about all that he accomplished. It has nothing to do with what we did, because regardless of what we ever could do, there's no level of holiness that we could ever reach, accomplish, or achieve. There's no amount of good works that could set us free from the ministry of death that was the law. If you break one law, then you are accountable for the whole thing. And so Jesus, being that perfect representation, you know, the perfect embodiment of those laws being fulfilled, is what sets us free from that. I was actually thinking about that this morning, like, Jesus, thank you that you fulfilled all of the requirements that would have been placed on me to be perfect and righteous, and I never could do that. Therefore, I was a slave to being unrighteous, because, you know, righteousness is a position. It's literally a position, you know, a legal position.
It's a place of being. Mm-hmm.
And the freedom in Christ gives us access to that position. Not only access, when you accept Jesus's sacrifice, then it catapults you so far into righteousness that it instantaneously makes you righteous no matter what, because his sacrifice was such an overpayment for what the law demanded. The law demands righteousness, but grace provides.
That's right.
And Jesus provided himself for us. So then that curse that was on us, you know, the ministry of death, the weight of the law is lifted off of your back, and you're free to not feel condemned when you screw up. Literally, that's it. You're not mm-hmm. condemned when you mess up. That's what grace is about. So
I love how God has these three things operating together. Just as he is three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you've got grace, you've got righteousness, and you've got freedom, all operating together. Because without one, you're kind of not in the other. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that righteousness, like you said, is something, is a position of where we are. We are the righteousness of God. It's not something that we do. You know, too much over the years has the church taught that righteousness means right living, right doing, mm-hmm. not right believing and right stance before the Father. Mm-hmm. And he sees us through Christ's eyes, so that's what makes us the righteousness of God in Christ. So therefore, how do you earn that? You can't.
Right.
Then you have the freedom to stand up, like you said, the curse of the law, because the law is mm-hmm. described that way. I kind of see that as a man being bent over with weights, heavy rocks and stones on his back, and he can't get up off of his elbows because the weight holds him to the ground. But when Christ comes along, he lifts that. His grace, which operates in power and strength and glory, it picks mm-hmm. that up and throws it as far as the east is from the west. Mm-hmm. You know, the weight of his sin is no longer upon him. And so now grace stands him up, freedom allows him to walk, and righteousness keeps him in a place where he doesn't have to fall again into that place of submission to death or to the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so cool how God has those together.
Well, and that's the beauty of Jesus's sacrifice, is that it was all of those things all at once transferred to us. That's what his yeah. sacrifice afforded us. It afforded us being able to live free of having to try and please God.
Right.
Having to try and work your way into his good graces. You know, that even though we were never really subject to that, Israel just kind of subjected themselves to it and asking for the law.
Right.
But it's like Jesus opened this door, and behind it was just all of these extravagant, priceless things that you are afforded access to now. Freedom, grace, and righteousness. And you're right that you can't have one without the other. That's why they all came at once.
Right.
And the only way that we walk in our freedom is to be conscious of all of these things that God has for us, and not of our own, you know, the stuff that is wrong and gross and dirty about us. Because the moment that you forget just how free you are, the moment you forget that by God's grace, I have been made a prince in the palace, you start acting like a pauper.
Exactly. Because
you start to miss the smell of the streets. Mm-hmm. You start to smell the, you know, the baker, you know, he's baking a fresh load of bread. And, you know, that memory of when you first stole some bread so you wouldn't starve just kind of stuck with you. And, you know, God knocks on the door of your room to get you to come out and enjoy something else he has for you. And you've forgotten that you were a prince in the palace with your dad who loves you there. And by his extraordinary grace, you're there. And you're sitting there, you know, reminiscing and thinking about and acting like a street urchin.
The things of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. And so many people take all of this and don't preach it in its truth because they're like, well, if you tell people that they can just do whatever they want, then they will. I just went through this,
yeah,
like not too long ago. And it's like, you know what? I got caught up in who I was before. You know, I was reminiscent of just my past, and I started to forget who I was in Christ. And my life started to reflect it. But once I remembered, once God brought that back to the forefront of my mind, that you're a prince in my palace, not in a condemning or a, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself for the way you're acting, but like,
that's right.
Remember who you are. Remember that you are my beloved son, and you don't need to live like you're a street urchin. You know, that stuff, you remember, that stuff hurt you. And I have so much for you right now. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I forgot that it was by your grace and your grace alone that I'm even in this palace. And I used to stand outside and look up and think, wow, I'm never going to be able to even see the inside. And now I live in it. And not only do I live in it, but I'm an heir to the kingdom. You know, and living in that thought that God follows you into your filth, that God follows you and pursues you even when all your life, you know, even when you're running from him and you don't even want him, you are still righteous. Your position still stands. You know, it's just like the prodigal, that son who went and fed pigs and went to go back to be a hired servant in his father's house. Never once to that father was his son not a son.
Exactly.
Never once was he not an heir. Never once was he not who he still was. And people like to think that telling people that will just give them license to do whatever they want and that they'll take that. But Paul himself is just like, God's goodness leads us to repentance. You know, God's overwhelming grace is what draws us to his heart. His overwhelming, extravagant, lavish love will draw sinners. It's not a matter of, you know, you got to tell people that they're sinful, and you have to tell them all these things about themselves, and that, you know, righteousness is something that you achieve and that you live by and according to. And it's not a position. You know, when you do that, you're crippling people and you're bringing them back under, you know, a spirit of slavery.
That's right. A yoke of slavery, the Bible calls it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul calls it right out.
Paul in Romans.
Yeah.
You know, do not submit yourself again to a yoke of slavery.
That's right.
And that slavery realistically is to anything that you feel God is ashamed of you for. Like for me, for the longest time, it was pornography. I felt that, you know, because God was so ashamed of me in this and he was so disappointed in me, even though he still loved me, that, you know, I was never going to be free of it. And I had to try so hard to stop. And realistically, The freedom didn't come for me. The freedom from to walk out from underneath the shame and the guilt and to let it wash off didn't come until I realized that Jesus had already conquered it for me and already set me free.
And grace was abounding in your life.
Mm-hmm.
When you got the message of grace, just like me, you know, we've both been through it. And it just a matter of how much time did it take to get there, right?
Mm-hmm. And then even when you still screw up, it doesn't change a single thing about you. That's the freedom. You are slave to freedom.
Isn't that a great concept? God's like, economy.
Like think about it. You literally cannot be unfree anymore.
Right.
Because you are so unmistakably held to freedom. Your chains are permanently broken, and new chains have been put on you that are, you know, not chains, but a new condition has been put on you.
His yoke is easy.
His yoke is easy. His burden is light, and that is freedom. You literally cannot escape your freedom. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard your heart seeks after to be, you know, a slave again to unrighteousness, God made you righteous, so you can never be unrighteous again.
That's for sure.
And that's the freedom that comes with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
And I love your analogy about being in the room, you know, in our mm-hmm. palace, in our mansion with God. And what you said about, you know, sitting in that room too long without any connection or trying not to connect with God, even though you see him all around you, we still try to hide from him. And this is part of that freedom that you're talking about. So we, you know, I would ask you guys who are listening, are you sitting in your heavenly, beautiful room in this mansion of God and trying to avoid God? And what are you doing to change the inside so that you don't see what the beauty of the room really is, as if to make it go away? Just because you put a curtain or throw a curtain or a sheet over a piece of furniture doesn't make it any less a piece of furniture that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And by trying to hide it, maybe you can't see the pattern, but you still know it's there. And that's the same thing. That's what you're talking about. And I think too, in 1 Peter 2:16, this example, this scripture goes perfectly with your example. He says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing when we get trapped in ourselves, our attitudes, whether it's pornography or anger or lying or stealing, whatever it is?
We're not living as somebody who's free. We're living as somebody who is slave.
Slaved, yeah. We've decided to serve that master. What furniture in the palace are you trying to hide? What picture are you trying to cover that you don't have to look into that face and say, I don't want to face the truth? And mm-hmm. then when we do go out, or when somebody, let's say, visits us in our place, in our lives, and we present the evil to them that we are doing while also trying to present ourselves as Christians. That's what this is talking about. As people who live in the light, that are alive in the Spirit, when we present ourselves, like you said, as what we were, or we've chosen to go into something that puts us mm-hmm. outside of blessing, that's what this is talking about. And then you're trying to convince everybody you're free in Christ, and then that freedom looks corrupt in their eyes. What kind of a witness is it to somebody who doesn't know Christ, who looks at your, quote, freedom,
mm-hmm.
and you're outright living in a sinful way, in a way that is not pleasing to God, and you know it? What's your witness? That's what he's saying. Don't use your freedom to cover up your evil. And don't think people don't know it, because it will be exposed. It'll come out somewhere, because you can't serve two masters, as we've talked about, because eventually you're going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all this ability. There's so much grace, Brandon, to get out of that, to stay free of that. And even if we do get into that, there's so much more grace to bring us right back to where God needs us and wants us.
Right. You know, it's the song by Cutlass, you know, draw me close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. Help me find a way to bring me back to you. And, you know, everything about, you know, help me find a way, bring me back to you. You know, we're always, we count on God to bring us back to him. You know, it's not like, you know, I know for me that when I get stuck in a way of thinking, I have to cry out to God to help me to get out of it because I'm not smart enough to get me out of it. I'm not smarter than the devil. I'm not smarter than, you know, than the principalities and the powers of the air. Yeah. All that I know is that Jesus is there and he is protecting me and he can get me out of whatever I'm in. And whether that's a negative way of thinking that's keeping you down, well, that's pretty much all that it ever is it's a belief that, you know, you need something or there's something missing or, you know, and that's what we're free from is all of those negative beliefs and the untruths about God. You know, one thing that I still need to find the address of that verse. I think it's in 1st or 2nd Timothy, but it's essentially God's diagnosis of somebody who is a Christian, but is walking according to darkness. And it's, God's diagnosis of that person's heart is he's forgotten the forgiveness that was given so abundantly to him. You know, it's our beliefs dictate our lives. Our beliefs dictate our actions is more proper to say.
Right. Right believing and right living.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when you believe that when you screw up, you are unrighteous and that you were still slave to whatever it is you just screwed up in, and that you're never going to be free of it, then you're going to live that way. But when you believe that you are still righteous, when you believe that you are already free and that God's grace has fully covered what you've done before you even did it, then you have the absolute freedom in your heart, in your mind, and in your beliefs to not live that way.
Exactly. And I think, too, we've got to remember that he will provide, he'll make a way for us to get through it, whatever we're going through. Like you said, you have to cry out to him. And I believe we all do, because until we do, that means we're trying to do it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that self-righteousness is what we've been talking about. That's not living in grace. That's putting yourself... heaping the law back onto your back and saying, I'll do this on my own. I'll pick this weight up and carry it, God.
Yeah.
And you can't. All you'll do is just lay there and die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what God wants. But he promises a way out. He promises that that there's no temptation that'll overtake you.
Right.
That's not common
to man.
Sin
will have no dominion over you.
Yeah. And that he will make a way. And we just have to keep our eyes on him. And let's face it, he knows that we're not always going to find the right, you know, door number one that leads out mm-hmm. to freedom quickly and easily. Sometimes we want to go and cut a hole in the wall and create our own path and then realize there's nothing on the other side, so you got to try to build a bridge. I mean, this is what it turns into. That's where we get into law and works.
Right.
Instead of grace, which was that open door that said, here, there's nothing stopping you. As you approach, it's open. It's given freely. Come.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we have to do. It is that simple, and it is that powerful, and it does lead to right living. And anyone who tries to take that from you, run from them, because they are lying to you.
Well, and, you know, you can stand on the truth of Scripture to carry you in that truth. Like, sin will have no dominion over you. That's huge. That's a promise. Sin will have no dominion over you. That's Romans, I believe that's Romans like 5 or 6. But it bothers me so much that, you know, I was watching a video the other night where somebody who had a vendetta against God apparently made this video, and it was intended to be really, really dark and really disturbing. It was just this really interesting animation style, very grainy, very blocky, almost kind of like a bad Pixar movie.
Okay.
But it was a town, and there was one guy with a guitar who would sing about the Undertaker. And whenever the Undertaker showed up, somebody was going in a pine box. You know, it was just kind of like the Undertaker was the angel of death or whatever. And in this town, everybody except for that guitar guy went to church, well, and the Undertaker, because he was just kind of a traveling concept or whatever. But this preacher would say, you know,
in the city of Shechem, the Lord destroyed that one city because of one man's unrighteousness, because of one man's iniquity.
And like the rest of the church is just sitting there and solemn and somber, and they're all, you know, obviously under the weight of that statement and all that he was saying. And then, you know, the preacher's eyes are just black and hollow, and it, you know, this old timey mm-hmm. Western setting. And he points at the one minstrel, goes out the door and says, "Repent, sinner, and follow the Lord." You know, and then the guy looks up to him and says, "Why don't you give it a try?"
Well, isn't that the truth?
It was so, it was so, that moment was so stinking real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who preach hellfire and brimstone, people who preach even something, it doesn't even have to be hellfire and brimstone. It just has to be something as simple as you are not righteous all the time.
Yes.
Under Jesus.
That's right.
It does the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It does.
Saying that you can fall from his grace.
Right.
Somehow you can be out of his light. All of those statements are true for what you're talking about.
And it all comes back to you are not free.
Yes.
You are not free from whatever holds you, whatever causes you to fall out of God's graces, quote unquote. And you know what happened to that church in the video in the end? The Undertaker sat in the middle of the town for 7 days. And everybody was, you know, tensions were really high because they're like, who's it going to be? And the preacher turns it and says, the Undertaker's here because of that one guy. And so he must be stoned. Mm-hmm. And so all these, the townsfolk go out to crush this guy, and they do. And he still just sits there. And then pretty soon, everyone starts to turn on each other, and they start tearing each other apart and killing each other. And in the end, nobody was left standing. And then the Undertaker just made pine boxes for them all.
The Undertaker was the one left.
Mm-hmm.
The one who didn't follow the message, who didn't succumb to that false teaching. Interesting thought.
Yeah, that too.
I know that's probably not what he was in the that video, but that's right. What kind of comes to my mind. Mm-hmm. Are you the one who's going to stand in the church that's not going to succumb to that? Mm-hmm. Or wherever that place is that people are giving the wrong message.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Satan will just wait.
Yes.
Satan will just wait for that message, you're not righteous, to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it'll do. These people who walk around and believe that they are slaved, they are enslaved to, you know, people who have been Christians, for a lot of their lives, who, you know, are just like, well, this is just the way I am.
Yeah, enslaved to performance.
Anger problem, this is just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
No, you are not slave to that.
That's right.
You are slave to freedom from that. So you don't have to lay down and say that this is a part of who you are, because your new creation that Jesus made you upon accepting him has no anger problem whatsoever. Doesn't have disease. Doesn't have, you know, constant lustful thoughts. That's not character of your new creation, your new man. That's your old man, and your old man is dead.
And we have the freedom in grace because of Christ's righteousness to give that to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason, at least that I have so far been able to see, and this affects me too, the only reason that we stick with those things is because we don't give them up.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we try, maybe we're not giving it up fully. It doesn't mean that we're not doing it right or that we haven't tried hard enough. Don't want anybody to get that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said earlier, when we were talking about the being in the room of the palace, there's a piece of it that's comfortable that we want to hang to.
Because it's familiar.
Right. So we're like, well, you know, take the handcuffs off of one wrist, but leave it dangling on the other just in case I got to anchor myself. Like when the children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt because the desert was suddenly very hot and there wasn't everything around them.
Mm-hmm.
So righteousness is a place, is something, it's a gift that God has given.
And you're anchored in it.
And absolutely. Grace is who Jesus is. Grace and truth came through the one who's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that grace abounds. Where sin abounds, grace does superabound. Grace, grace, grace. Don't let it slip. And finally, with that, freedom. The freedom to walk in a life free of yourself because God has it under control. Even if it takes you 10 or 20 years to get through it, God still has it. You still have a God who loves you. And all along the way, you're still saying, Lord, thank you for loving me. I'm going to keep submitting this because you are so good for me and so good to me.
Right. Well, that's our time. So thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. And we hope to hear from you. We'd like to, you know, whatever is in your life, if you have a topic that you want to hear us discuss or that you want to be a part of.
Right.
You know.
Come and join us.
Yeah. Join us. Give us a call. We can do Skype interviews too. Boys at Canary Cry Radio. We'll help out with that. And we look forward to hearing from you. So go out and change somebody's mind about God.
Thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. Send us your prayer requests, comments, and suggestions to freeindeedco@gmail.com. We would love to hear how the Lord has touched your life and rejoice with you. Don't forget to sign up to follow us by email on the website and get our app from the Google Play Store. Free Indeed is listener-supported, and we invite you to come check out how you can support us through our website at www.freeindeedco.com. Free Indeed Ministries believes that your tithes belong to your local church, and we receive your donations as offerings to support the mission of Free Indeed to advance the gospel of grace throughout the world. The Lord bless you as you go into your world and change someone else's mind about God.